With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
The witness of his church will go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria. See the concentric circles? Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria. Acts chapter 1 through 8 is Jerusalem. 9 through 12 is Judea, then Samaria. And then chapters 13 is throughout the world. That is the very unfolding of it. And that's exactly why we say from Birmingham, there's our Jerusalem, into the South and into North America and throughout the whole world, that we want to be witness for Jesus Christ. These concentric circles work. Working out.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, His Heart, Our Vision. We continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. In chapter 1 of the book of Acts, Jesus told his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." We then see this pattern followed as the rest of the book unfolds. The book of Acts tells us how the gospel witness of the church spread from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and into the rest of the world. But it doesn't end there. Since the apostolic age, the church has still had the command to proclaim Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And we must make sure that our vision continually matches God's heart for world missions. If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to Luke chapter 24 and verses 44 through 53. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, His Heart, Our Vision.
Now look with me in Luke 24. And verse 44, this is the 14th appearance of Christ after the resurrection. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus has this 14th appearance after the resurrection, and in it he talks to his disciples, and this is what he says to them. He opens their minds to understand the scriptures. Now, this is tremendous. He opens their mind to understand the scriptures, and he says, now this is what the Bible says. Look at verse 46. "The Bible says, it has been written that Christ, I am the fulfillment of the Psalms, the prophets, and the law. I am the fulfillment. All that's written in the law of Moses and the prophets must be fulfilled." Now, what is the fulfillment? I'm the fulfillment. The scriptures bear witness of me. And they specifically bear witness that I will suffer and die and be raised from the dead. That I will do the intercessory work to save you from your sins. The glorious gospel shall be secured because Christ goes to the cross and saves his people from their sins. But let me tell you something else the Bible is telling you. All the way from Abraham, he said, Abraham, in you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That the Old Testament scriptures not only pointed to me, but pointed that my truth, my gospel, my saving work on the cross, triumphant resurrection, is to be proclaimed to the nations, starting with your own. See, he says this, that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, you're the witnesses. You're the missionaries. Remember our vision statement for coming generations? Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping church where every member is a missionary. You're my witnesses. And every member is a minister. So he says, that's my Father's heart. My Father's heart is for that. Can you imagine when he says from Jerusalem to all the nations, can't you imagine the things starting to click in their mind? Oh my goodness. Just a couple of days ago, we were standing in the temple and we asked him, when will be the end of the age? And he said to us, the end of the age, you will know the end of the age because the age will end when my gospel has been preached to all the nations. Then shall come the end. Now, just a couple of days later, he says, by the way, that's your task. Can I tell you something else? Not only will the preaching of the gospel to all the nations, you know, see, as far as I understand, folks, there's two things got to happen before Jesus comes back. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Let me try that again. Jesus is coming back. Okay. I explained to the missionaries earlier that we do amens here. Presbyterians know how to amen. We just have to tell them where it belongs. That's all. Okay, he's coming again. Amen. When is he coming again? He's coming when two things happen. One, all of the elect have been saved from all the tribes and the nations. Two, he is coming again when the gospel, which is how all of these people will be brought, when the gospel has been preached to all the nations. That's when he's coming. That's why when Peter's talking about hastening the coming of the Lord, he's talking about missions. That's what he's talking about. When we talk about come quickly, Lord Jesus, what we're talking about is missions. The gospel to all the nations to gather all of his people in from every tribe and nation. And now he says, then shall come the end. And by the way, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I mean, this is a sublimely ridiculous statement, isn't it? I mean, folks, stop with me. Who's he talking to? People that just a few days earlier were running, hiding. And we got about 120 people. Yeah, there's some rich and some poor and some men and some women and everything, but kind of a ragtag group here. 120. And I'm going to shake the world with you. Is that not sublimely ridiculous? What a vision. How can this thing possibly happen? I mean, I'd kind of look around at the 120 and say, now how is this going to get pulled off? How is it going to get pulled off? He said, well, let me tell you how. I got two encouragements for you. Encouragement number one, I will be with you to the end of the age. I'll give you the power. The promise of the Father will come to you, the Holy Spirit. And so now the sublimely ridiculous becomes highly feasible. The impossible mission becomes possible. And then he says a second thing, not only from the resurrection will I send the Holy Spirit, but you remember that cross that I was on? When I saved my people from my sins, he says this. Let me give you the vision. Look, the fields are white unto harvest. Because of his work on the cross to save his people from their sins, the fields, every field, all these flags and more, the fields are white unto harvest. I have saved my people. Now, send and pray for the laborers to go. Send and pray not to prepare the field. I've prepared the field. Go harvest the field. That's what I've called you to do. And so Jesus gives this glorious word to us in the Gospel of Luke. And then Luke has another word for us. Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 1. He's got another word for us. In Acts chapter 1, Luke again is writing. And he records this amazing moment. We move from the 14th appearance of Christ to the 15th appearance. I tell you what, hold it. Keep your finger there in Acts 1. Go back to Luke 24 for a moment. I wanted to do something there. He's promised them power from on high, the Holy Spirit, which is how he's going to be with us to the end of the age. And then in verse 50, then he led them out After giving them this instruction, he then led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This conclusion of the Gospel of Luke, he then fills in the blanks in the opening paragraphs of his next volume, Acts chapter 1. Now let's fill in the blanks. Go to Acts chapter 1. What happened? He led them out. They went to Bethany. It was there that he ascended. And look at verse 4. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. Okay, we've heard that. Wait for the promise from the Father, that's the Holy Spirit, which he has said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has lived by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the end of the earth. And when he said these things, they were looking on. He was lifted up and a cloud took him out of his sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of heaven, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So he's coming again. When will he come again? When the gospel with power through the witness of his church will go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, to the other. See the concentric circles? Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria. And the whole book of Acts is the, Acts chapter 1 through 8 is Jerusalem. 9 through 12 is Judea, then Samaria. And then chapters 13 is throughout the world. That is the very unfolding of it. And that's exactly why we say from Birmingham, there's our Jerusalem, into the south and into North America and throughout the whole world, that we want to be witness for Jesus Christ. These concentric circles working out. So it's come from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria, and it's come to us in the world. Now from us, it'll go from Birmingham. It'll go from Birmingham to the south, to North America, and to the world. And that's what God has called us to do, and that's where God's vision is, that we would be engaged in that work to take the gospel to the world. And they ask him an interesting question, don't they? Is it at this time you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs, but you will receive the Holy Spirit, and with power, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. So he didn't answer the question, did he? Oh, yes, he did. You see, they thought the kingdom was Israel. He's telling them, oh, no. The kingdom came through Israel. It'll come back to Israel, but the kingdom is from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. Here is my Israel. And it's no longer found in this small little plot called the Promised Land. It's now coming from the world. This is my Father's world. From all the nations, praise God, and I believe that gospel is going right back to Israel. It came through them, it'll come back to them, but it came through them to do what he said to Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's the Father's heart. Is the gospel to the world. Is the Father's heart vision ours? Do we embrace it? Will we embrace it personally? Will we embrace it with all of our heart? With the encouragement, this sublimely ridiculous, seemingly impossible mission, now simply sublime and achievable and will be accomplished because the Holy Spirit is working through us to accomplish it. Well, here's just a couple of thoughts for you. Two takeaways. Let me do this very quickly here. I've only got a few moments. If we embrace our Father's heart vision for the gospel of His Son to go to the world, we have to have a heart to reach the world with biblical integrity. We have to have a heart to reach the world with biblical integrity. Harry, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the phrase I used the other week. Let me use it again. We can't be a donut church. Hey, what do you mean a donut church? That's a church that's committed to getting the gospel to the world, but it's not doing anything at home. Just a big hole. No. I know this is World Missions Conference, but folks, we're not going to send out there to feel good about ourselves while we do nothing here. We're called to personal evangelism. We're called to being a witness here. We're called to embracing what God's called us to do here. So that's why I want you to take that bridge to life, because every member is a what? A missionary. Every member is a missionary. You once were a mission field, God saved you. Isn't this amazing? We who were the products of the mission now become the participants in the mission. We were saved, now we become ambassadors to proclaim that salvation. So that means we want to do it here. That's why, take that bridge to life. This is what I shared, a little group I met with on Friday. Get your testimony down pat. You ought to have your discovery Bible study testimony that you can do over weeks. You ought to have your dinner conversation testimony where you can take the whole night and share Jesus meaningfully. And then you ought to have your elevator testimony. I only got 3 floors, so I want to tell you about Jesus. You ought to have all 3 of those in your arsenal. They're right in your toolbox. That we are missionaries here. And by the way, look at the things that are happening around us. Just look at the open doors that are there. I'm so excited about our Briarwood Youth Group this year. Wow. I mean, there's so many things. This burgeoning evangelistic opportunity through orphan ministry, through foster care ministry. What an extraordinary opportunity wide open to us, and the world looks to us for that. What about them? And then our BYG, you know where their mission trip is this year? Birmingham. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, don't wall yourself off from the city in the book of Jeremiah. He said this, seek the welfare of the city. So our Briarwood Youth Group this year is doing Seeking the City. And they're taking our kids, our high school kids, right into the city to do outreach and discipleship and ministry and relationship. I hope your kid's one of those missionaries. That they're engaged in this seeking of the city. Birmingham. No hole in the donut here. Here are these opportunities that are all around us to be engaged with integrity in our own Birmingham and all around us, planting churches and revitalizing churches so that there is this local impact that is taking place. So we want to do it with integrity. We're not a donut church. But by the way, let me give you the second thing. We want to reach the world with sacrificial intention. Why? Because we don't want to be, here's the other thing, we don't want people to think that Christianity is a tribal religion of Americans or Birminghamians. Jesus is not our tribal God. He is the Lord of the world. He is the Lord of the nations. So He's not our tribal Jesus, just for us and just for our country. We want now to intentionally, with sacrifice, send Him into the world. That's what He said to us. As the Father sent me into the world to save sinners, now I send you into the world. And you're going to have tribulation, but go into the world. And I want you now, I sacrifice to save you now sacrificially. I want you to give yourself so that the Savior is sent to all the world. Well, Pastor, I know how I can go to Birmingham. I know how I can go to Alabama. I know, okay, but how can I go to the world? This is that third passage. Go with me to 3 John. Go with me to 3 John. Look in 3 John. Great news. You and I can not only participate here, but we can participate around the world. Look in 3 John chapter 5. Some missionaries had come. Hospitality was being shown. John is encouraging the hospitality, and he says, no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. And then look at verse 5. Beloved, my children, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. He said, these missionaries have come to you. You have loved them. They've testified to them. Now, send them in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing among the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these. Why? That we may be fellow workers with the truth. So we go here, but when we send out there, and we send out there with our resources and our prayer support, and maybe our own children, when we send out there, we're fellow workers with them. We are fellow workers with them as they go out there, so that our sacrificial commitment to that strategic prayer life, those financial resources with faith promise, that short-term missions trip, all of those things that we're doing, as we send them out, we're actually going with them. We're going, we're sending, we're giving, we're praying, and we become fellow workers with them. Listen, let me just conclude with this. I know that God doesn't need me. I know that God doesn't need our sons and daughters. I know that God doesn't need our prayers. I know that God doesn't need our resources. One time I heard a mission speaker speaking and trying to encourage people to give and go. And he said this, God wants to win people from the world, but his hands are tied behind his back. And until you give and go and pray, his hands are tied behind his back. Folks, God's hands aren't tied. Listen, if Briarwood doesn't participate, God will still get it done. You can take that to the bank, but we'll miss out on the blessing. Here's the interesting thing. While God doesn't need me, our sons and daughters, our resources and our prayers, God has divinely designed His delight to use me and our sons and daughters and our prayers and our resources. And He lets us get the delight of His delight to use us. That's why we do it. God's heart vision has become the vision of our hearts. When I was a kid in high school, there was a movement that came along called the Jesus People. Do y'all remember that? Its signal was the upraised index finger. You remember that? I remember on my 68 Chevelle, getting the sticker, putting it on the car, and Cindy not speaking to me for a week because she didn't want stickers on the car. But it was one finger, the index finger, pointed up, and underneath it, one way. Some Christian athletes got a hold of that in the 70s, and when they'd score a touchdown or hit a home run, they'd do the one-way sign to point to God. Now, whether you are into that or not, it's not my argument. It was their attempt to say, I did this because God enabled me, and I did this for God's glory. And that was their attempt to take that one-way sign that was pervading the Christian culture, and they brought it into athletics. Can you step over here? I want to move from the Jesus People to a wholly different place. It's called the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. It's the place I rescued my wife from. If you'll notice, their basketball players, when they get to the pros, even in the pros, Michael Jordan, Bobby Jones, they score a basket, and as soon as they score the basket, you ever notice what they do with the index finger? They point to the person that passed them the ball. If you talk to Michael Jordan, or if you talk to any of the graduates of they're playing pro ball, they're all doing that. You know where they learned that? They learned that from Dean Smith. Bobby Jones, who was a high school athlete a couple of years behind me in Charlotte, North Carolina. In fact, Bobby Jones went on to play at the University of North Carolina. You may have heard of him. He played for the NBA. He was one of the top 50 players in the NBA and voted number one defensive player of all time of the NBA. Bobby Jones was from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he was a couple of years behind me. He actually broke my records, my scoring records. It took him 10 minutes of the first game that he played. And he went on to have this great career at Carolina and then this phenomenal career. He actually led Dr. J to Christ. He had this great ministry on the Philadelphia 76ers. Just an extraordinary guy. Well, he came back. He had saved up his money, so he came back and became the athletic director at Charlotte Christian School. So my kids got the chance to grow up under his leadership. And one day I'm riding with him up to Raleigh to go to a state tournament. And as we're riding up there, I began to ask him about this. And he said, oh, Dean Smith told us. He told Michael Jordan, told me, told everybody. He said, you score, everybody applauds you. I'm going to tell you something, son. If that guy doesn't pass you the ball, you're not going to score. So while they're applauding you, you point to the guy that passed you the ball. If you don't, you don't play. It was interesting how that became a real habit in their life quickly. It carried right on into the pros, where they actually enjoyed doing it. Bobby talked about how they would talk about it, how much joy it was that when they scored, instead of beating their chest and pulling off their jersey, they pointed to the guy that passed them the ball. They just loved that moment. Well, folks, we're ending the service now, and we're going to send these people out. By God's grace, church planting, evangelism, leading people to Christ, they'll score. You know what they can do? they can point back to you. You passed them the ball. With intercessory prayer, with sacrificial giving, you passed them the ball. And then all of us can point upward. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's Son. This is my Father's heart vision. Will the Father's heart vision be the vision of our heart? Father, I try to imagine what that little boy must have felt like in the multiplication of his fishes and loaves. But I can't wait to see what you're going to do in multiplying this. We'll point to one another, but together we'll point to you. All that we have, all that we are, is for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus told his disciples, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." This command is still in force for his church today, and we must make sure that our vision continually matches God's heart for world missions. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, The Ecclesia, God's Church for the Ages. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request His Heart, Our Vision, or simply ask for message number 11424. Again, that's message number 11424. We do request $5 to underwrite the cost of the CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We live in an age where the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit is either distorted or neglected. Yet His power and presence has never been more needed. In Perspective is pleased to announce the offering of Harry Reader's newest CD series, The Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective. Harry delves into the Scriptures in great detail in this two-volume set on the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be filled and anointed in the Spirit? Volume 1 contains 16 CDs and is available for $40. Volume 2 has 13 CDs and is available for $35. Order both for $75. Ask for the Holy Spirit in Biblical Perspective when you contact us, or order online by going to briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. That's briarwood.org/Holy Spirit CD. The goal of this sermon series is that we become more and more led by the Spirit each day. We do hope Harry's teaching on In Perspective is being used to strengthen your walk in Christ. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. Go to your favorite app store, type in Briarwood PCA. This app is yours free of charge. Harry would love to hear back from you. Write In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email Harry at inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reader takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.